Let me invite you to turn with me to Psalm 130 in the scripture. We'll be reading that and using that as our scripture text today. This is a psalm that mentions the forgiveness of God in a very beautiful way. So please give attention now as we read God's own word. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, Lord, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. May God bless his word as we think of it together. I think the expressions that with which this psalm begins are similar to some, maybe every one of us in this room. Who of us has not had times where we feel in the depths and we feel like we need to cry out to God for mercy? Or who of us has not waited on the Lord and maybe prayed for a particular thing and not seen an answer to that prayer? At least not in our own time schedule, waiting for his help, like it says, a watchman waits for the morning, having that urgency and that desire, but it is delayed. Perhaps you've shared also the inner feeling or inner spirit of the psalmist when he says he puts his hope in God's word. And that is certainly where we need to go to find that kind of assurance. He trusts in God's unfailing love, which is expressed to us over and over again. Now, we sense that the psalmist himself is under a bit of heaviness in his life. As he begins the psalm, the truths he expresses and he thinks about his situation really are wonderful as he does trust the Lord and he does depend on God for his faithfulness. And it brings really joy to his heart that God is a redeeming God. And this major theme of forgiveness, which is in verse 4, but with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared, is the place where we want to direct our attention this morning in a particular way. No doubt from different times from the pulpit, you hear messages about God's law and about how God has certain requirements and how we're falling short of those requirements. And maybe that produces in you a sense of guilt and falling short of the glory of God, which is really what we need to do. And that kind of preaching is sometimes heavy, but it needs to be heavy. And maybe, at least if God is working, you may feel that that preaching is directed right to you as an individual person. He was really preaching at me this morning, some people would say. And I guess the preacher would rejoice in that and say, that's what we want. We want people to hear the word of God. We want them to realize that God's word is speaking to you and speaking to your own heart. But we never want to leave the matter in the sense of, say, building guilt into us, because we always need to balance that with forgiveness. And the fact that God brings that forgiveness, lifts the guilt away, and gives us joy. We have the answer to guilt. Sometimes the world talks about guilt feelings and so on. The Christian message is that there is real guilt. And if you just have a guilt feeling, maybe you can get another feeling that would override that or at least put it to sleep. But with Christian message, we have the answer, which is forgiveness. And that takes that guilt, it lifts that guilt completely away. God is willing to pardon us, and he's been willing to do that through his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one of his greatest gifts, We just sang in that Psalm 85, forgiven have thy people been, and thou hast covered all their sin. Away has taken all thy wrath, and turned from thy fierce anger's path. That's just such a beautiful message. It's a message that lifts that guilt away and the burden that we feel because of our sin. And it's a message that's all through the Scripture. And God says it over and over again in Ephesians 1:7. In Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. There it is again. John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have that assurance that God will forgive, that God will cleanse us. Now, for a person that doesn't have any guilt or hasn't been really exposed to the Word of God, this message would be meaningless. Actually, it has no meaning at all, because what they do is simply put that guilt away, try to bury it, somehow erase it. And the concept of forgiveness is meaningless to a person like that. But the psalmist is not one of those people. He feels the guilt of his sin. And he knows that, and he cries out, "Out of the depths I cry to you." He's sensing the weight of his guilt upon him. And the depths, I think, of his that he speaks of are his estrangement from God, that distance that sin brings as it separates us from God. He feels there's a barrier perhaps there, and therefore he's looking for mercy. He cries out to God and pleads for mercy in this particular psalm. Now, many people today would never allow themselves, I think, to even think about this subject or thoughts like this. They try to keep so busy that they just don't have time to really deep or meditate seriously about their own condition. They avoid contact with the Scripture because that would certainly bring the guilt to the fore. And they simply anesthetize themselves with the idea that I'm not as bad as so-and-so. My life is better than many people around me. And as you do that, you sort of think about this scale kind of thing, and you kind of give yourself a good grade because of that. To this kind of person who does that, says, "I'm not so bad after all." The message of forgiveness is not a beautiful message at all. The depths that they experience are considered a normal part of life. We just have to get through this. We'll have to deal with it and then move on to something else. But whether they ignore it or whether they don't, there is that, I think, God-given sense of guilt before them. I think like the prodigal son. Prodigal son took that money and went to a far country and lived it up. And he felt nothing until, you know, God really brought him down to where he couldn't deal with that anymore. And it says when he came to himself, when he realized where he was and what he had done, he turns around and says, "I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned." So he finally came to that place where he realized his position before God. And when he says, "I'm not worthy of the favor that I've enjoyed, I'm not worthy of your forgiveness, but please forgive me and receive me back." And the beauty of that story, of course, as you know, is that the Father welcomed him. The Father even ran to meet him. And that forgiveness is beautiful. That's a beautiful story because of the forgiveness of the Father in that a demonstration of it we see in that particular psalm. So forgiveness from God is one of the most beautiful things that we can imagine and enjoy in our own personal life. So I wanted to consider two particular aspects of this subject this morning. The first is forgiveness brings great relief. Forgiveness brings great relief. Whenever sin is committed or whenever we do something wrong, there's an immediate tension that we feel between ourselves and God. We feel things are not right. Uneasiness felt in the heart because that offense has occurred. And the relationship that we have with God is broken very much violated, you might say. I think we can see the principle demonstrated in human relations. Take the story of Joseph and his brothers. They certainly had sinned against him when they were going to kill him and then sold him as a slave to Egypt. And the relationship, of course, was then strained, and there was a sense of guilt on the part of the brothers as they meditated on that later. And when they came down to Egypt and when they were confronted by Joseph, they were fearful. They were very much afraid of what might take place at that point. They might be punished completely for what they had done, and rightly so. And that fear, when Joseph finally revealed himself, I think he allowed them to feel that for a time. But then when he spoke his forgiveness to them, there was an enormous sense of relief. In fact, the brothers could join together. That relationship was joined again, and they spent a good bit of time in Egypt restoring that relationship. Well, in the psalmist here, in verse 3 particularly, he says, "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" Now, that's being confronted with our guilt or our sin before God. And when that sin is brought to our attention, then the tension of the relationship with God is strained and broken. And it's my understanding that God writes down every iniquity, every act that we perform in a book. He actually has a book with my name on it, and he has a book with your name on it. And we learn in Revelation that these books are going to be opened one day. And you think how many violations are in that book. If I would fail 3 times in a day to do what God required me to do, you can see that in a year that would be 1,000 violations that I have on my record, in God's record book of my life situation. And if I've lived 30 years, 30,000, and you can multiply on out. And you're doing well, I guess, if you've only committed 3 violations in one day. So if God should mark iniquities, that's the idea that's in this psalm. If God keeps a record of all of those violations, I'm nervous if I break the law one time, if I'm speeding or something and the policeman drives up behind me, I'm very nervous about facing him because I realize there's a guilt there because I probably was speeding. And then you think about that in relation to the judgment day with God. How could I stand? In fact, it says here, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Who of us in this room could stand before God and have him reveal all of the judgments or all of the violations that I've committed? It certainly would put me down, and I would be found guilty before his throne. Well, I believe God does keep that record book, as I said, and that book will be opened. But for the Christian, Jesus takes that book and brings forgiveness and actually cancels the charges that are there. In fact, the phrase he spoke on the cross when he said, "It is finished," that Greek word means the debt is canceled. It's often was used in record books in that day, and they would strike that word, tetelestai, across the record, saying, "These are all paid. The debt is paid." Well, that book would certainly be a horrible thing for me to see if that book were open and all of the sins of my life were presented before me. But there's another book that God has, and that's Jesus' own book of those who have come to trust in Him. And if those sins are forgiven, if those are, sins are placed on Christ and He paid for them on the cross, then I can be forgiven. I am forgiven before God, and those charges are not against me anymore. There is now, therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What an incredible truth that is. He takes that guilt away. So if Jesus has the book, and your name is written in Jesus' book, it says you will enjoy, be welcomed into heaven. The Hebrew word here for forgive means to send away, to get rid of, to let go. And when God forgives that sin, He lets it go. He will never bring that up as a charge again against you because Christ has already paid it and it's gone. It was pictured in the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement when the two goats were brought to the temple and one goat was killed as a sacrifice. The other goat was called a scapegoat. They would lay the hands of the priest on the goat's head, transfer figuratively the sins of the people upon that goat, and then that goat was taken out of the camp and let go in the wilderness so that it was gone. It was gone forever. And that's what it means, the relief that comes to us when we know that we're forgiven. When we know that that sin has been laid on Christ, then we have the freedom and the relief that that brings. The other thing that's really wonderful about and beautiful about forgiveness is that it's a restorer. It brings relief, but it also is a restorer of relationships to ourselves. I think we see that when the prodigal son comes back home, and that relationship that was broken is restored, and the father didn't just welcome him back, but he gave him a party and rejoiced together in the household that he had been brought back and forgiven. It's the same with our relationship with God. When our sin is laid on Christ and we are forgiven, we have a relationship restored. And we saw what Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden, that relationship where God would meet with them in the cool of the day. Wonderful relationship, but that relationship was broken and they were cast out of the garden. And then through Christ, that relationship is restored. And we actually have that relationship with God again. We can call Him our Heavenly Father. We can commune with Him. The way is open into His presence. All of that's a great blessing to us. And in verse 4, he says, we learn to fear Him. Well, that fear, I don't think, but with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. It's not being afraid of God. It's not that idea, but rather a deep reverence, a deep respect for God that is there now. And a loving relationship where He accepts us as one of His children, actually adopts us into His family and makes us one of His. And I think having been forgiven, we were talking about this earlier in the class, when we are forgiven, there's a new desire to honor God in all that we do and say, in all that we strive to do. When He says here, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. In His word I hope, my soul waits for the Lord as the watchman. It gives us that idea that there's an urgent desire now to be with God, to have that fellowship with God, to have that restoration in that situation for us to enjoy. And that's a really great thing. His word becomes our hope. We get to know what the promises are, and those promises are our strength. And that relationship is there every day. He says He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And that gives us a security a sense of belonging, which is so precious to us. Jay Adams, in his book on counseling, says this, and this is a quotation. He says, "Unforgiven sinners are vulnerable people. They often become intensely self-conscious. Even innocent words frequently are interpreted as personal attacks. They interpret as personal affronts, acts that have no direct relationship to them at all. On the other hand, the man at peace with God and with other men is invulnerable and can be bold as a lion." End of quotation. So what he's saying is, if we have a relationship with God and we know that that's secure for us, then we can face the different situations in life. We can face people. We can face circumstances and have an assurance that we are secure in God and not be shaken. It speaks here of unfailing love. God's unfailing love is simply there, and it will not let us down any time. We are forgiven people. And if our life would end today, God forbid, but if it ended today, we stand as sons and daughters of the King and would be welcomed into his presence. And that helps us to have stability in all of life that we face. So you can know that relief. You can know the restoration if you know Christ. If you don't know Christ, then, of course, that is missing. If we return to him like the prodigal son returned to his father, the relationship is there. The joy is back. And all of that blessing is there. So hear the word of God from this psalm. "If you, O Lord, would keep a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness." And that is will give us stability for this coming year that's just now before us. Let me close with the words of Peter when he said this, "Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is preached to you today." That was his message 2,000 years ago, and that's our message today. Hear the message that there is forgiveness of sins proclaimed to you through Jesus Christ. His promise is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May God apply that thought to our hearts and minds as we begin this new year. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for your promises, which are so rich to us. We know that if you would mark our iniquities, we could not stand before you. There's no way that any of us could stand. But with you, there is forgiveness. And we thank you for that. We fear you. We reverence you. We love you because you've worked that out for us. So bless us now as we begin a new year, as we think about plans and situations that we will face for this new year. Give us a stability. Give us a security as children of God. Help us to really bask in the love that is there for us in Christ Jesus. Thank you for that. Thank you for your presence with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like us to turn to this psalm now. Psalm 130, selection A. And we'll sing back to God the words that he gave us here about himself and about his forgiveness. He speaks of the depths there in verse 1, and then, "Lord, who could stand?"